We read the Holy Scriptures together this evening in the prophecy of Isaiah. The text that Ike and Aaron picked out is Isaiah 12, verses 1 through 3. But to understand that Word of God, we need to read the chapter before it. So we'll start with Isaiah 11. So I'd ask that you follow carefully as we read God's Word together, the beautiful chapter of Isaiah 11. This prophecy of our Messiah. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, and from Egypt, and from Pathros, and from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim, but they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west, and they shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men go over dry shod. And there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thy anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall he draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. May God bless his word tonight in our hearts. As I said, the text this evening, the first three verses of the 12th chapter. We'll read it once more. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thy anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall he draw water out of the wells of salvation. The secret in understanding the passage before us of Holy Scripture is that chapter 12 of Isaiah is the response of the believer and the response of the whole church to the beautiful prophecy that was given in chapter 11 of the coming of the Messiah. The first verse of chapter 12, and in that day, again in chapter 12, verse 4, and in that day, what day? Chapter 11, verse 12, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse which shall stand for an ensign of the people, a pennant, a distinguishing flag for all the people. That day is that day prophesied in chapter 11 of the birth and of the work of Jesus Christ. In that day, when God's promise of Messiah is fulfilled, in that day, I will praise thee, O Lord. Chapter 11 spoke of the coming of Jesus Christ and his work in a very beautiful way. Just very briefly, what we read through chapter 11 spoke of Jesus Christ as the new King David. He comes out of the root of Jesse, from David, according to the flesh. But he is the king who will rule in righteousness, and the Spirit of the Lord will be upon him. He is the one who will unite God's people over all of the world. He's the one who will rule in righteousness. It spoke of him as the new Moses, the new David, King David, but it also spoke of him as the new Moses, verse 15, and the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea. It actually looks like a tongue just before the Suez Canal, where the children of Israel were led across. Jesus Christ will be the real Moses, who will speak and open the sea so that the people of God from every nation come through and enter into that highway of eternal life. And then it spoke of him as the new Adam, verses 6 through 9. That new creation that he brings at the end of the world, when the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, and the curse of sin will be forever removed from us. When he comes, the one spoken of so beautifully, figuratively in chapter 11, when he comes in that day, the day of the king, the day of the new Moses, the day of the creator of the new heavens and earth, what will be our response? This will be our response. In that day, thou shalt say, I will praise thee. And who is that I? We'll look at verse 6 of chapter 12. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion. The individual members of the church in the day of the salvation of Christ will cry out and say, I will praise thee. That's you. That's you right now. Messiah has come and worked his salvation in your heart. King David, the true Moses, the last Adam, has saved you. And the response, O Lord, I will praise thee. Further, we see in our text that the people of God, the believers, the church, in that day of salvation that has come upon us, in that day they will be characterized by one outstanding activity. It's again figurative, but there is one outstanding activity that every believer and the church will be engaged in the day of salvation that has come upon us. And that activity is in verse 3. Therefore, because of this, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. The constant activity that will characterize the saved in Jesus Christ, Jesus will be drawing water out of the well of salvation. Jesus is picturing us, his people, tonight, his church, as those who are in the desert of this present life of sin, but we are gathered around the well of salvation, and we are constantly drawing, those living waters of salvation into our soul. This is how the child of God is characterized. This is the characteristic of the church on earth. She draws the water of salvation through faith into her soul and heart so that I will trust and not be afraid. So that Jehovah is my strength and my song. He is my salvation. So the daily, lifelong, continual activity that must characterize you, Ike and Aaron, is that every day you draw by faith your life out of the wells of salvation in Jesus Christ. That every day, through faith, you draw out of Jesus Christ that strength, that wisdom that you need for that day and for everything that you will ever do. Strength for your journey, for your pictured as here as in the desert. You need that well to live. You need water to live. Strength for your journey. Trust so that your heart does not break. Comfort. Joy. The song of joy, all of this comes from dwelling, from drawing out of the wells of salvation. I'd like to call your attention to that theme, drawing from the wells of salvation. Let's look first at what those wells are, and then secondly, drawing from them, and then finally, the joy at the well. The presence of a well in the Old Testament for the child of God meant the difference between life and death. Without a well, they would not live. It was by and large an arid land, a desert climate, a hot sun, periods of long drought, and the life of Israel and their children depended upon wells, a source of water. The word well here is actually the word for a fountain, something that had contained, therefore, fresh, cold, clear water. And yet, we must not be thinking in the text of a bubbling fountain out of the earth, because the text very plainly talks about drawing out of the well, drawing. So the idea is a well that has been cut down into the hard bed, the rock and the clay, and has found that spring of fresh, clean water so that one can draw up from that, so that they would come with their buckets and with their cups, even cupping their hands, and drink that water and live. They would come dirty. They would come thirsty. They would come desperately. They would come wearily, and they would be refreshed, and they would be cleansed, and they would be restored as they drank the water. They drew the water up out of the well. And so the figure is that God, in this present land of sin and death, has sunk before us the well of salvation, filled with the salvation of Christ. And now, when our hearts are weary, when you are tried and tested and despairing and feel you cannot go on for another moment, and when we feel ourselves to be dirty in our sins, there is a well of salvation that we draw from in Jesus Christ. Salvation here is referring to the whole work of God in delivering us from sin into his eternal kingdom of Jesus Christ. It's what you learned. Didn't we lock arms on doing this? Do you remember that? The chain of salvation? All of salvation, you remember? Regeneration? Calling? Faith? Justification? Sanctification? Preservation? Glorification? You remember? That's salvation, the whole thing. But for our purpose tonight, we want to look just at that word salvation. And I believe you also learned in catechism that word, and we should all know, that word means very simply to be delivered from the greatest evil and to be brought to the highest possible good. That's salvation in Jesus. And the greatest evil that we are delivered from is not injustice. Social injustice. It's not prejudice. It's not discrimination. Are prejudice and discrimination sins? Yes, but it's not the greatest evil that we're delivered from. The greatest evil that you face in your life is not that you might one day be penniless, friendless. The greatest evil is not cancer. The greatest evil is not the hurts that are done to you in this life by others. That's not the greatest evil. But the greatest evil is sin. Your sin and my sin. Romans 3, verse 24, for all have sinned. Is that bad? Yes. And come short of the glory of God. Sin is guilt. The guilt that we have as sinners before the holy God and our deservability of punishment, that's the greatest evil that will ever confront us in this world. Along with that guilt is the power of that sin. Sin has a power greater than any chain that man could ever forge. Sin is a great power that would hold us in its evil and in its darkness, and give us to despise the living God. We had no strength to cast off that sin. But we were delivered. We were saved. Christ paid that debt. Christ broke those bonds. He created in you the beginning of the new life of Jesus Christ. And he brought you to the highest good. And the highest good, it's not your grade point average. It's not health. It's not popularity. It's not everything planned out exactly as I wanted. It's not mental health. The greatest good is God. God. To be brought close to the heart of God. That's the greatest of all good. And so the picture of the text is that in your life, there is the necessity that you constantly come before this well of salvation and you drop your bucket down into what Jesus Christ has done for you. And that you come before God and cup your hands and ask him to fill you with that water of his salvation. And that you be washed in your heart as nothing else can wash your heart, with that precious blood of Jesus Christ, and that salvation that God has given you be the refreshment of your heart and the strength of your daily life. Verse 2, my strength and my song, because he is my salvation. Now, I'd like to point out to you here yet that verses 1 and 2 bring out two beautiful aspects of salvation. Let's look at that a moment, if only briefly. Verse 1 brings out the truth of the utter graciousness of the salvation that is in Jesus Christ. And in that day, thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, especially for this reason. Though thou wast angry with me, thy anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Salvation is gracious in that God has turned away his anger from us and has comforted us. Of course, that's a reference to the cross of Jesus Christ, when the anger that was due to us for our sins was instead directed to God's own Son, so that that anger was appeased and toned in the suffering of Jesus, and God has now turned to us in all of his grace. But that anger also is something that we experience in our relationship with God. By God's grace, we are in a relationship to our loving Heavenly Father, and our sins displease him. Our sins offend him. And our sins are so repeated, and we grow accustomed to them. We no longer understand the depth of those sin. We become mindless of God. A striking way to say it, and I believe it's a true way to say it, is we spit in his face. That's what our sin is. Yet God loves us. He chastens us. He pricks us. He bends us down in the grace of repentance. But he loves us graciously. I will praise thee out of the experience of that grace to me. I'm not saying now that our sins are excusable or good, but our sins show how utterly undeserving we are of God's love. They show that. They show how astonishing that love is. That he loves us in Christ Jesus, his Son. And thou comfortest me. When someone hurts you and sins against you, do you feel like comforting them? We don't feel like comforting them. But you see, God's grace is his compassion. His faithful compassion, that he comforts us. He brings us to repentance and he comforts us in our sins, in the way of repentance. And then secondly, not only the utter graciousness, but verse 2 is speaking to us of the absolute certainty. Verse 2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord, Jehovah, is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. And so the tone here is one of absolute certainty before God. There's no hesitation here. There's no quivering. There's no doubt. God is my salvation. It's very clear. It's very bold. In fact, Isaiah, or the prophet, wants us, when we say this, to say it courageously so that everybody hears us in this world. God is my salvation. Graciously. That's what I'm all about. My salvation is of God. And notice that this attributes again all of this to God, to his grace. God is my salvation. He doesn't say that God contributed a part of his salvation And now I will contribute my part of salvation. And note that he emphasizes it. God is my salvation. Now it's as if the Holy Spirit wants to put this in red letters and underline it in yellow. God is my salvation, for the Lord, and if it had left it right there, we would have gotten it, capital letters, Jehovah, for Jehovah, but then he repeats it, Jehovah is my strength and my song. It's all Jehovah. And we know that that name, according to Scripture, is one of the great, great, greatest names that God gives. I am that I am. I always am what I am. I never am anything other than who I am. Jehovah, the God of my salvation, faithful, true to me. He is my salvation. Not only gives me salvation, he is my salvation. To know him is salvation. To know him through Jesus Christ. John 17, verse 3, and this is eternal life, that we may know the one true God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. We draw from this well of salvation. Now, very briefly, we all know that that is Jesus Christ. And so it's talking here about connection, faith, union to Christ, whereby we draw from Christ our salvation. There are two times, and I'll mention this just briefly tonight, there are two times in the ministry of Jesus Christ that he referred to verse 3 of Isaiah chapter 12. Therefore, with joy shall he draw water out of the wells of salvation. There were two times that he had that passage directly in mind. The first was on the great day of the feast in John 7, verse 37. We read, and evidently John, the inspired John, had his eye on it too because of the way he starts. John 7, 37, in the last day. That rings of in that day, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, here's the reference, he's looking at that verse, it's a little different, out of his belly shall flow waters of living water, that is, his need will be filled so that this living water that I give him will flow out of him. That's the truth of salvation. Come unto Christ. Believe in him. Find in him all things that are necessary for your soul, for your day, for everything. Believe in him. He is that living water, that new life in Christ, that resurrection life. He's that clear water to cleanse us from uncleanness. He's that refreshing water. And he's that inexhaustible water of salvation. The well of salvation in Jesus Christ does not run dry. Think of that. Tonight, we are but a small part of the body of Christ, of believers. We think of how great our needs are, that we go to that well of salvation, how much we need it. But around the whole world, the saints of God are drawing out of that well of salvation. And the well does not dry up, for it springs from God, from the cross of Jesus Christ, with an atonement, with a love of God, with a grace of God sufficient unto every one of God's own children. And then the second time that Jesus quoted it was to the Samaritan woman. And children, you remember that story of how Jesus spoke to that woman at the well. She was a Samaritan. His disciples had gone off to buy food. John chapter 4, verses 7 through 16. And that woman, unknown to us but at that point, but known to Jesus, had grossly, this woman had grossly and repeatedly violated the seventh commandment. And he begins to talk to her, and he said, give me, as she went to the well, Jesus said to her, give me to drink. And she said to him, why are you talking with me? I'm a Samaritan woman. The Jews and the Samaritans don't talk. Jesus said to her, if you knew the gift of God, and if you knew who it was that said to you, give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water, of which if you drink, you will never thirst again. And she said to him, perplexed, you have nothing to draw water with, and this well is deep. And this well was made by our father Jacob. Are you greater than our father Jacob? And he said to her, whosoever drinketh of the water of this well shall thirst again. You drink of the water of this earth and of its isms, its different theories, its pleasures, you will thirst again. In fact, your thirst will be greater. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But that water that I shall give him shall be as a well of water springing up to everlasting life. And she said, give me that water that I thirst not. And Jesus said, go and call your husband. And he knew that she had many husbands. Jesus wanted to bring her to know her need, her sin, and to give her, by his grace, that living water. That water is Jesus Christ, who alone, only, can satisfy our hearts fully. We must draw from that well. We draw from the well, as I've said, through faith, God's gift. And he's referring to that, the text is referring to that in the second verse, for I will trust and not be afraid. So, first of all, let me emphasize, if only briefly, that we draw from this well. We don't dig the well. And I mean by that, for our needs in life, for the forgiveness of our sins and our needs, spiritual. We do not look to ourselves. If we look to ourselves, we're digging our own well. And we get pretty good at digging our own well. We have a problem, we look at ourselves. And we begin to say, well, I did this pretty good, and I did that pretty good, and I'm very resourceful. What you're doing is digging your own well. Like digging a well through concrete. It won't work. You won't get any water. We don't dig our own well, nor do we go for refreshment of our hearts and souls, joy and life. We don't go to the water of the world, to the watering holes of this present world, to the places where men seek to drown, to satisfy the thirst, the hunger, the anxiety, the difficulties of their life. They think they're thirsty, that alcohol or some drug will satisfy this. It will not satisfy that. Or that we would go to the acceptance of this world, or to the thoughts of this world, to everything that the world would offer to us for soul help and salvation. Don't dig your well. Don't go to the water holes of this world. These water holes of the world are polluted. Animals have been there and urinated into the water. It will make you sick. Don't go to those wells. Jeremiah 2, verse 13, God says of an impenitent, stiff-necked people, "My people have committed two evils." They've done two things evil. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and they have hewn out for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. It is evil to forsake the fountain of living water. And it is evil to fall upon the ground and put your lips into the sand and to suck and to suck and to suck, thinking that you shall receive water. The water is in the well, Jesus Christ. We draw from that. God has dug the well with his own hands. He bore down deep. He dug the well in the incarnation of his Son, Jesus Christ. He dug the well in the 3 hours of darkness when he hung upon the cross, down, down, deep. He dug the well in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And now that well is open, a well of life and cleanness in Jesus Christ. And he is the one who gives us that we might draw that water to ourselves through faith. Faith is the gift of God. And by faith, the reformers use now the word appropriates. When you appropriate, you take to yourself, you embrace Christ by faith. Faith receives. Faith receives Jesus Christ through faith. We draw from the well. But how? How? I think all of the children could finish the sermon and answer the question how, if we gave them time to think about it and ask the right questions. I'm thoroughly convinced they could. Faith draws from the well through prayer. Every time we pray, we have come to the well of salvation. We have come because we felt the need, the burden of sin, and the need of grace. We have come in prayer to the well of salvation to be cleansed and refreshed. Our Heidelberg Catechism, that goes further back in your catechism, Lord's Day 45. Why is prayer necessary for a Christian? Because God will give his grace. Why is prayer necessary? Because God will give his grace and Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires continually ask them of him and are thankful for them. And now I want to emphasize something that you might have noticed in the text. Draw water out of the wells, plural. Plural of salvation. The well of salvation is not confined to one spot. You don't have to journey to Rome to find the well of salvation. You may stop any place. You may stop at any time. You may stop when you are anxious, when you are weary, when you are done and overcome. You may stop when you are guilty and covered with shame for your sin. You don't need to go anywhere. You may stop and you may draw at that very moment from the wells of salvation. You may cup your hands in prayer. If there's one thing, well, this thing that I want to emphasize to you too tonight, that you, and I believe you have already, I want to emphasize to you tonight that you make prayer the reality of your life. Not just that we say we pray, but that you pray. And that you do it right now, in the days of your college life, right now. Many spiritual things, if they're not set in place in the days of our youth, spiritual disciplines, if they're not there, we struggle. We struggle a whole life long to get that discipline. I want to encourage you that you have that discipline. Go to the well in prayer. We draw water from salvation by the study of the Bible. When the Bible is opened before us, the well of salvation is before us. And so we must develop a thirst. We must develop a love. We must develop a fascination. We must develop a querying. We must develop a genuine interest and love for the holy scriptures of God, for they are the well of salvation. You, in your body, we emphasize that when you exercise, you need to hydrate. You need to be drinking the water, especially if it's hot, for the spiritual life. We need to hydrate. We need to be in the scriptures. We need to do that as families. And I was going to say some remarks about that tonight, about the devotions and how we must see it, that then we're dropping down a bucket and we're asking the children to come with their cups and fill themselves with that bucket. So when we read the scripture, we have to think that we're drawing. What is it that we're drawing? What is God saying to us? It's not simply in your devotions, well, we're our family, how's your devotion? Well, we're stuck in Deuteronomy. We're stuck. No, beloved, it depends on how we approach it. It's how we approach it. It's our attitude. We're going to come to the Word of God and read that with our children. And so you talk about it. And you explain it, and you fill their cup with that word. But I want to emphasize tonight, especially Bible study, that we fill our, that we come to the well of salvation in our Bible study. I want to emphasize that generally in our church. I know that some of us are not able to attend these Bible studies, but our attendance is poor. Are we thirsty? Thirsty for that word? And I want to emphasize, especially young adults, are you participating? Are you participating? No excuses. Are you participating? It's part of the body. We are one body in Christ. Do we see the church? We are one body in the Lord. And at the times of Bible study and fellowship and young adults, we come together for that Word of God. Faith, in the third place, draws the water through meditation. So faith is active when you're just thinking about God. My meditation of Him shall be sweet. You can think. You think about God. At night, when you can't sleep, you're drawing from the wells of salvation. You think about God when you're very busy and you're preparing for an exam and you're writing a paper and you don't have time. You don't have time Well, you don't have to get up and get a glass to draw from the water of salvation. You can draw from the water of salvation in a moment by meditating upon Him and His salvation in your life through meditation. You might remember that in the wells in the Bible times, if you think of Jacob when he first met Rachel, and there was that well, and Jacob was talking to the shepherds and said to them, "Why aren't you watering your flock?" And they said, "Well, there's a stone on it, and we're waiting for the other shepherds to come because we can't lift it off." So they would put they needed a lot of people to be able to draw from the well. They'd put a rock on top of that well to keep pollutants out of it and so on, to protect it. And so a bunch of them had to pick it up. But that's not true of the well of salvation. You may go to that well personally in a moment, and you may draw from it. We draw from the well of salvation by hearing the preaching of the gospel. That's why we're here. We're here to come to the well after 6 days last week of a journey. And before we want to start out again, do you start your journey without drinking? If you're going across the desert, we don't start the next 6 days before we come to the word, to the well of salvation. We're going to face all of those temptations. We're going to face our frustrations, our anxieties. We're here to draw up out of the well of salvation. And therefore, under the preaching of the gospel, drawing up is an activity. Under the preaching of the gospel is an activity. We are not passive under the preaching of the gospel. To be active in the worship service does not mean that we have to have a set of drums up here for you to beat on, or to have a praise team leader. You are active, not like the preacher who's preaching. Your activity is harder. You're active because you want to draw. You want to bring. You want to understand. You need this word of God. You believe the Holy Spirit has prepared a word for you. You are engaged. Engaged. And finally, we draw up water in the communion of saints. Wells are very social places in the Old Testament. There are places where people would talk, people would help each other. There are places where a well was a place where a guy would find his wife and a girl would find her husband. We appropriate Christ through the communion of saints. The communion of saints, that well, grace is conferred through the communion of saints. Linger at church, not just out the door. Now, I know that sometimes we have a reason to be right out the door, but don't go just right out the door. Don't do that. Linger with the saints. Draw from the well. Get to know the saints. A congregation of 150 families, you must do something for the communion of saints. Our anniversary was such a pleasant Saturday morning. We ate together. We talked together. It was a good morning spiritually. That's what we need. We need those things, more of those things, for the communion of saints, drawing from the well. It says that we will do this in joy. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw from the waters of salvation. How would they come to a well? Would they come grumbling? Not interested? Apathetic? Oh no. They would not come to a well that way. They had been in the desert for days. There was nothing to moisten their lips. They were stumbling. They were almost exhausted. They were seeing mirages. They did not come to a well lackadaisical, but they came, and when they drank, joy. That's the way it needs to be when we come to church. Not slouching, not can't get them out of bed, but eagerly and in joy. That's how we come to prayer, to Scripture, to communion of the saints. I'm in a desert. I'm in a desert. I need the water of life. And that joy is the joy of comfort. Thou comfortest me. Thou bringest consolation to my soul. Throughout the week and throughout our days, our souls are being drained through our sins and through our trials and through our tears and through being our anxieties. It's like the soul, the moisture of the soul is being drawn away through all of these things. We need to drink for consolation of my soul. The joy is that our fears are dispelled. I will trust and not be afraid. The joy is that we are brought to trust in the Lord. And where there's that trust and that fear that we have is subdued. The joy is that we're strengthened. Jehovah is my strength. If we don't have water, we become weak and we become dizzy and we faint. But water enters somehow into us, I guess through the blood, and carries. We need water, we need to be hydrated so that we have strength spiritually. And then this joy brings praise and songs to our lips. I will praise thee, O Lord. It's filled with praise. He has become my song. And there is nothing that so subdues and places aside our worries, our fears, our guilt, than song, singing the praises of God. And there's none who sing so beautifully as those who drink from the wells of salvation. They shall know that God is their strength and God is their salvation. And they will say, I will not be afraid. May God grant this tonight to you. Amen. We thank thee for thy holy word. We thank thee for the faith that thou hast worked in Ike and Aaron, that thou hast led them to this text for tonight. May they remember it all their life, and may they see the figure before them every day. I need to go to the well, and by faith, I must have Jesus Christ, for he alone will quench my thirst. In Jesus' name, amen.